Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
If you could just tell us how faith and maybe persecution prompted the separatists to come to the New World in the first place.
Well, the separatists in England were being punished a great deal for worshiping in their own way and not following the rules of the Anglican Church. They believed that they should be able to worship from within and not follow the rule of law of bishops and all of that. So after being persecuted, run out of their town, taking a lot of horrible things, they escaped and made their way to Leiden in the Netherlands. They lived first in Amsterdam for a year, then moved on to Leiden, and they were in Leiden for about 12 years before they decided to go to the New World. And they decided to do that because Spain was getting ready to attack Leiden and the Netherlands, and they were afraid that religious persecution would happen all over again. So they decided to make their way for the New World.
And what would you say is the legacy of the pilgrims that we can learn from today?
First of all, we need to remember that they're America's family. They helped found this country. They were the first to arrive fully intact families with little children, wives, ready just to settle a new village to grow and prosper in. That was unusual because always before it had only been people coming to hunt and trap, and there were lots of problems associated with that. But the pilgrims did come, and they stopped along the way in Provincetown Harbor, and they wrote the compact, which is now known as the Mayflower Compact. And that was a self-governance document that also created religious freedom that later really did influence democracy. So it's a very, very important piece of work for our country. From there, they landed and they immediately created a peace alliance with the Wampanoag Nation. And it lasted for 50 years. So that was an example that we didn't see later, because as we all know, in later generations, horrible, horrible things happened to our Native people as they became Native Americans through the years. Last thing, Thanksgiving. The harvest festival that they had for 3 days with the Wampanoags influenced today's Thanksgiving. It's the symbol that was used for Thanksgiving because they were thankful. They were thankful that they helped each other. They were thankful that they had a good harvest. And most of all, they were thankful that they survived. Only half of them survived, but 51 of them survived and came together with over 100 Native tribesmen in order to have what they called their three-day Thanksgiving Harvest Festival. So it's a real example for us to be thankful of all the things that we are blessed with today.
Yeah, they really modeled facing hardship and being thankful despite it.
Yes, they did.
Since we're speaking about what the pilgrims and the natives ate, did they actually have turkey and pumpkin pie like we do?
Well, they did have turkey. We don't really know if they had pumpkin pie, but they might have because there was pumpkin available at that time. But the turkey they would have had, along with lots of other fowl and venison and fish, that turkey to us would have been horrendous because it would have been wild turkey and it would have been gristly and it would have been hard to chew and not at all what we're used to at our table each year.
So we can enjoy our juicy, plump turkeys and know that our dear ancestors didn't get that luxury.
Yes, that's true. They didn't have many luxuries. It was tough living back then. And thanks to them, over 10 million of us in this country have Mayflower descendancy if you're just willing to do your genealogy and find it.
Wow, that's very cool. I'm going to come to that in a minute. But what are some of the other myths about Thanksgiving? Did they really step on the rock?
Well, actually, the rock has been a myth. In different generations, people have believed it. They've laughed at it. They've said it's absolutely not true. But guess what? This Thanksgiving, there's a brand new book out there called Plymouth Rock's Own Story. And in that story by James Baker, he speculates that it very much indeed could have happened because it was a horrible winter. It was icy cold. It makes perfect sense that they would have come alongside Plymouth Rock and stepped from the shallop onto that and then jumped onto land. So who knows? Every single generation, we look at it differently.
Great. Lee, our culture seems to devalue history today. Why is it important for us to celebrate and remember key milestones like the landing of the Mayflower?
I'm really glad you brought that up. honestly, Tracy, because you're right. It seems like right now the trend is to look at history and always find everything that was wrong about it and criticize and blame, etc. But, you know, I think that the Pilgrims and the Wampanoags are a huge example to all of us because they did have a 50-year peace alliance that they kept until the following generation. And I think that would have been a model to follow, which unfortunately was not by all of the other English colonists and the warring tribes that came after that. And I just think that history is so important to look at the good parts as well as the bad parts. And we have to fix the bad parts as best we can and tell accurate stories. For the good parts, we need to cherish them because this is a really great country that we have here.
Wow, well said. We've all done stupid things in our own lives and made mistakes, and hopefully we can learn from them and grow from them and be better tomorrow than we were last week or last year. You know, that reminder of, yes, we all have blotches of sorts on some things that we've done. My final question for you, Lee, one of your ancestors, at least one of your ancestors, was a part of the Mayflower Crossing. Why do you think listeners need to know about Plymouth and the recreated ship that people can see there?
Well, I think if you come to Plymouth, Massachusetts, you can visit the ship, you can walk on the actual land where the Pilgrims lived, and you can see where their meeting house was built. And then you can even go out to Plymouth Patuxent Museums and see reenactments of both villages, as well as visiting the ship itself. Being a descendant, I actually have 8 of them, Tracy, through different lines in my family that were all on the Mayflower, but that's not unusual.
Wow.
Most people who are descendants have more than one because they intermarried so much. But coming to Plymouth is important for everybody because it doesn't really matter if you're a Mayflower descendant. If you do genealogy, you learn who your people are and you learn who you are and why you have some of the traits that you have. But coming here kind of brings all that to life and helps you understand why we call this America's hometown.
Lee Filson, thank you so much for speaking with me. Where can people learn more about this 400th anniversary of the landing of the Mayflower or Plymouth, Massachusetts?
Everybody can go to cplymouth.com or to plymouth400inc.org.